I think that I shared a little bit of, I was just frustrated with my daughter, and the person I was with said something too, and then the third woman was like, my children have always been very well behaved. I've never had a problem all through high school. And I was like, bleh.
Oh.
I was like, shut up.
Shut up, barf, barf.
Liar. Liar.
Well, it is awful strange when whoever has to sit there and tell you, whenever someone's telling me they have a good sex life,
exactly,
or they're telling me their children are perfect, I always go,
my bitch, you do.
Thou protesteth too much.
Yes.
Uh-huh. The DivaCast, number 97, 10 and a half, June 2008.
And you would be perfect. It would be worth it. Oh, and you said.
Hey, everyone. We are five fun, fabulous 40-something-ish.
And you are?
Oh, I'm Suzanne.
And I'm Sharon.
Okay, and I'm Carrie.
Okay.
And what do we believe?
And we believe inside every woman is a diva.
We're not editing this one.
No,
so
and that includes you.
And we're missing, again, Julie and Amy. You know, I feel like we say that often, and I think that maybe...
I think they're out together somewhere.
I don't care about
dinner.
Them being together. Who's putting in the hours here?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
we are. Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Okay, can I tell y'all something that happened a couple weeks ago?
No.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yes, we'd love to hear you, Sharon.
No.
She always asks for permission. Have you ever noticed that?
Did you do that in childhood?
You must have. Let's analyze that.
We'll go.
Can I tell you something real quick? No. I'm going to keep saying that until you stop.
All right.
Just talk. Speak your mind.
Okay.
What happened?
Speak.
We were having friends over for a barbecue.
Not us. We weren't there.
No. I wasn't even invited.
Nope. And I'm getting everything ready, putting things up. And my daughter looks at me and she goes, okay, Mom, you forgot to take out the condoms.
Oh, gosh.
I said, really? And I'm just looking at her. She says, you know, like the mustard, ketchup, relish.
So she said, put the condoms out. And then you said.
Okay. So I said, what do you mean?
This is our bloopers.
She's like, you know, the condoms, mustard, ketchup, relish. I was like, honey, those are condiments. A condom is what you put on. She went, blah, blah, blah. She finally got the connection. So she wanted no more information.
That's awesome.
So anyway, so bless her heart. She has a little bit of word
association. Problem.
Yes, yes. She just kind of.
We call that word approximation.
And she does that a lot.
That's the word.
Yeah, she does it a lot too.
It just reminded me of a story.
Okay.
When we went to drop the kids off, we met my mom halfway because they were staying at the beach while I went to Africa. Okay.
Right.
So we meet halfway with my mom and we're sitting there. My oldest daughter has her girlfriend. Both of them have friends with them.
Right.
And they're looking at, for some reason, they're looking at their bellies. And she says, hey, do you know that the little fuzzy hair between your belly button at, okay, we were at two Ruby Tuesdays at a restaurant with my mother and stepdad. Hey, do you know that the fuzzy hair between your navel and your crotch is called, I don't know if she said crotch, I don't remember, the happy trail?
The happy trail?
Oh, I'm like, my gosh. I covered my face. I'm like, oh, like I don't get embarrassed easily, but I'm like, oh, what?
The happy trail.
And she was so innocent. Like, she's looking at me like, what? That's what they call it. I'm
like, like your ear, your eye, your happy trail.
Ugh, God help us.
Oh, my gosh. How did your mom respond?
We all just laughed. My mom just, she laughed at that. It was funny.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's sweet.
Yes, the condom and happy trail.
Yes. So when my neighbors come over, I kid them now that we're. Don't forget to bring the condom.
Was she there? Were they all there?
They weren't there yet, you know,
we
I
had
shared
to tell
it,
story.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, my son was naked on the couch, and he had pulled off his underwear for some reason. So he's sitting on the couch watching cartoons, and he had a big old swing.
Ew. I'd be like, cover it up.
Okay, he's a little, he doesn't even know, he's you know, like five or something.
I'd still be like, okay, pants.
Okay, Carrie, you're the mother of girls. Oh, for
I
God's
sake. A bunch of boners around.
No, it's so cute because it's just.
All right, I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Zan.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And so it was just so funny. And he said, "Look, Mommy, I have a rocket ship." And I said, "Yes, sweetie. And it looks like it's ready to launch." It was very sweet.
So cute, Susie.
Okay, Mommy of Happy Trail Chicks and Mother of Condoms.
I was supporting you on
Thank
that
you.
One.
Thank you.
Susan.
Thank you. Okay,
I was
okay.
supporting you.
Okay, so Carrie is just you.
Okay.
You
and that's
because
she doesn't have any boys. That's why.
She just, yeah. And how did you think you get it?
I want to launch a new campaign. A new campaign. I'm changing the subject.
Oh, yeah.
She hasn't done that in a long time.
Like we didn't notice.
Remember how she used to do that all the time?
Yeah, that's what I'm cracking up at.
Okay, well, then let's talk some more about some little penises.
Cute little penises.
Go ahead. Change the subject.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to take us to a better place.
Okay.
I want to start a new support group.
You've never had an old one, Sharon.
Okay, well, I'm going to start a new one.
Not that you know.
That's right. And it's going to be to bring back to make muffin tops attractive.
What are you talking about?
You know, your little pitch.
I know what you're talking about, but why are you?
Because I feel it's important that people begin to think that's attractive.
That they honor that.
Yes, and that they let it be attractive.
Let it be. Okay, really?
Yeah, I do. I feel strongly about that.
Have you noticed another's muffin top?
No, just my own. And I figure if I see it, everyone else does.
Suzanne will tell you, you cute little muffin top. To sit on the couch naked. And she'll tell you.
And we'll just honor it. And we're going to give you your own personal held hand mirror, and you can just look at it and just tell it how beautiful it is.
Okay. All right. See, that's what I'm trying to start is a love your muffin top. Support group.
Along with panties on a stick.
Yeah.
Okay, can we move on, please?
Oh my God.
We got a couple of emails and then we can talk about some other stuff.
Okay.
Do you
want to do it?
Okay. We got an email from Caitlin and she was talking about our teen talk episode, talking about sex as teens. And she's 22 and she wanted to let us know that she's still very conservative and she's still a virgin.
That's
and
great.
She feels that there's lots of people out there who follow in her beliefs and honor systems. And she just wanted to let people know that it's good and okay. And we appreciate her honesty and feedback.
Yeah, thank you.
And then we got another email from Florinda. And she referenced another podcast. And I thought we'd play. She referenced Guys with Feelings.
Why?
Because she was talking about, when we were talking, how we're not getting along and sometimes there's some infighting. And she wants us
between
to do
the divas.
It. Between the divas. And she wants us to air this out on a podcast. So we went to the website to listen to Guys with Feelings and let's hear how theirs is going.
Jeff, it hasn't been like this for a couple of months. It's been like this for a year and a half. There are shows that I've listened to that are like, don't bring this up now. And I'm like, well, it's...
You're literally talking about Guys with Feelings. You're talking about shows you've listened to. I'm talking about conversations we've had on the phone about, I mean, honestly, like, I am just losing a friend to the business. That's what I feel like I'm losing. I literally feel like I'm losing a friend to someone who cares more about their own success than they do about their success in their life.
Oh, yeah. Great idea.
Okay, that's just two of them. Imagine five women. Oh, my gosh. Florinda, thank you, but we would... I mean,
thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah. I mean, we do. We love each other, and we're still... But if we were really to air this, like, if you all would hear us, like, sometimes how we are in our meetings, y'all wouldn't want to listen to it, number one. And then the next time you got on to download our podcast, what would you hear, Carrie?
Cricket, cricket, cricket. Absolutely nothing.
Because we would be done. So, Florinda, great idea. Thanks for the feedback. But
no.
No. We kind of have been talking a little bit about forgiveness and moving on. And, in fact, Erin from Manic Mommies emailed us. Excuse me. No, she left us a phone mail a few weeks ago referencing Dr. Phil, one of the shows we did on Dr. Phil about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And she referenced a website, loveandforgive.org, loveandforgive.org. And it was just a really good topic. And so I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
Suzanne, you had kind of talked a little bit about something going on with you.
I did?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
And your mom?
I'm serious.
And your mom?
Yeah.
Something she brought up after years about her granite countertops.
Oh.
Yeah.
She has a way. This one over here.
Yeah.
Of remembering things that you mentioned and then bringing it up on the podcast so you can air your dirty laundry. But I don't remember.
I've got one.
She said she would do it. Oh, you're going to talk about
laundry.
It?
She said she would.
I did?
Yeah.
Was I drinking when I said that?
Robin, she did.
Oh, yeah. He's not. You're sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just tell you
where his allegiance is.
Okay.
And loyalty.
Right.
No. You know what? You raise a good point, and I'm kind of comfortable sharing this. Well, you know what? Since my mom doesn't listen to him, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's
here,
how I feel.
Yeah, because my mom will never hear this unless one of my family members like tells her or something. Yeah, it was just so weird that several years ago, my father had given me some money because he knew I was depressed. And this was after my cancer surgery, my first cancer surgery. And he could see that my dad is a real control person and just wanted me to feel better. So he came over to my house, cut me a check and said, here, I'm giving this to you. I just want you to go have some fun. So I was like, wow, great, thanks. So remember, that's when the Divas, we all went on my 40th birthday party, and I rented a limo. Mm-hmm. We went into Atlanta, and that was so much fun. Okay, so just a couple of weeks ago, now fast—
8 years later.
Fast forward, yes, to 8 years later, my mother brings up that I'm not incredibly grateful for the things that my father, in fact, has done for us. And I'm skipping ahead, that the audience is missing some big gaps in this story, okay? And I said, but, you know, Mother, I try to be very grateful for what has been given to me. And she said, well, remember the time your father gave you that money and you did some things with it and blah, blah, blah. And she said, and just let me tell you, I wanted granite countertops. And because your father gave you that money, now I can't get my granite countertops. And I was just cricket. Silent, just absolutely floored. I guess this was right after my recent cancer surgery, wasn't it? It wasn't before.
I think it was before you.
Okay, I guess it was before my surgery. So here I am facing cancer again. Not really sure that it's cancer, but feeling probably it's a pretty good chance that it's cancer. And my mother kind of burdening me with this. Now, what the audience needs to know is that if she really wanted granite countertops, that really wouldn't be a fiscal hardship for them.
No, her parents they're loaded.
So
they are.
My parents are rather affluent.
Yeah.
And so that was just bizarre to me.
Okay, can I just throw this out there?
Yes.
I think it's interesting that you're going into cancer surgery, and it's almost like, why is she telling you now? Is it because if this happens again and he gives you money, is she wanting you to decline? I mean, what's the intent? Why is she telling you now?
Well, because as I said, there's some gaps in the story, and that is that she had a sense that I was ungrateful for some of the financial gifts my parents had given to us. And so she brought it up like, wait a minute, we have been good to you and your father has.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not negating that. But there's some other dynamics that I don't want to go into, but publicly. But it's just interesting that she chose that, and then to say, well, she did not get these granite countertops. My parents live in a beautiful home. They didn't get these granite countertops because I took this money, and you know. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my father would spend this a month at the country club golfing.
Yeah.
I mean,
this
isn't like. You know, I'm not a trust fund kid or anything. So just really interesting. And it's so how does that lead us into forgiveness? I'm not there.
No, but clearly your mom's hung on to this.
Right.
You know, and that's something. And, you know, I mean, it kind of got me thinking about how we tend to hold on to things and it hurts us.
Right.
Versus, you know, letting it go and moving on. And I have, it's not a similar story, but it's an interesting story from the perspective of I went to my 30-year reunion. I had a girlfriend And, you know, we used to be really good friends. Mm-hmm. And over the last 12, 15 years, we haven't been that close. And out of the blue, I get this email from her. And it basically says, I'm not sure I'll explain
okay,
very
wait.
Well.
I just have to warn you. If you read an email on the air, just be careful. I'm just giving you a warning. It sometimes doesn't work out very well. I feel responsible to tell you that. Okay. Go ahead now.
All right,
Carrie.
She's not sure she can explain, but she didn't want to hurt my feelings, but she was really surprised at our 20-year reunion, things I said. Now, you all know I don't remember what I said
yesterday.
10 minutes ago. And she's talking about stuff. And then she goes on to say.
So she's talking about the 20-year.
We just got done with our 30-year. So okay, now so she's saying, I wanted to talk to you about this, but we never really had time. We were on a 3-day cruise locked in a ship. I mean, you can't go very far, right?
Right.
So, but she didn't have time to talk to me. But there's really no opportunity. And it's not anything I need to discuss with you at this point or to resolve.
Oh, whatever. But I just want you to know that you said something.
You've really pissed me off.
Yeah, 10 years ago. I mean,
what did you do with that?
I thought about it and I emailed her basically, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I've said anything to offend you, I'm sorry. I hope you have more important things in your life, basically. I mean, can you imagine?
Did she email you?
Yeah, I've never heard back.
Did you send the email?
It's been, our reunion was in October. I got this probably in January, and I sent it a week or so later. I kind of pondered it. But is that not weird? I mean, I just thought, oh, my gosh.
Talk about holding a grudge.
Okay, I think that's sad.
I do, too.
Okay, and I want to understand the psychology of that. I know some people that do that. They hold on, and they, what's the deal with the grudge thing?
It gives them power. To hold a grudge, you have power.
Ooh, that's good. That's
interesting. Yeah, it's a power play.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't fall for it. I mean, I really didn't.
You didn't bite the bait.
And I wanted to. Part of me was like, you know what? Oh, my gosh, that is so sad. Mm-hmm.
And she's not willing to give up her power. See, because by saying to her, and I don't care to go into it now, but you said blah, 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 some things, and she doesn't give you specifics.
No, not at all.
She's throwing the bait out. And it's a power, because now she has power over you. She's hoping.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's getting a podcast about it. I started thinking about it, and then you told us your story about, and I was just thinking, okay, that needs to be talked about on a podcast from the perspective of, don't let people suck you into that. And if you're holding on to something,
healthy. Right, and don't suck other people into that dynamic.
Yeah.
Be aware that when you do that to people, you are being very manipulative. It's much healthier and grown up, by the way, and more mature to just say to the person, Sharon, when you said A, B, and C, I felt blank, blah, blah, blah.
Don't want to sound like a therapist, you just say, you know what?
It really pissed me off
when you said, you could see my muffin top in my shorts.
Yeah. Yeah. That really hurt me or whatever. Instead of saying, well, I'm not going to, you really hurt me, but I'm not going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's so gamey.
And, oh, by the way, it was
because I'm gonna make
10 or 12 years ago.
That's what the part that I think is sad. And I wonder, okay, does it really give her power when somebody lives that far away and has absolutely no clue that she's
sure
upset?
Does.
How?
Sure it does.
Sharon's walking around clueless for 10 years.
No, I mean, I know she's mad at me, but I was thinking it was something completely different.
Oh, you did know she was mad?
No, that's the one that I said, you know, it was the atheist.
She
told me to back off on the Christianity.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, and so, I mean.
Was that what she was mad about or just something else?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
Interesting.
But, you know, I mean, if people would say, how come you're not friends? I'd say, well, da 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 da. So I don't know.
You know what? My husband and I did a show.
Number 8.
On InsightWorks. That's InsightWorks.com. On forgiving. It was show number 8. And it was a long ago. And it was about forgiving the person who murdered my mother-in-law, my husband's mother. And we did a whole show about that.
There's
a
link on our website to that.
Oh, thank you.
To your website.
Yeah, okay. So there's a link and you can go there and listen about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, when I was in Africa, one of the women that worked in the house for us, let me just tell you how pampered I was. I had this woman, lovely woman, Rose and Rebecca and Ruth. They did our laundry. They cooked for us. It was wonderful. And Rebecca, I told her to come in because I wanted to give her like the clothes and stuff that I had brought there. I was going to give them to the kids. And then I'm like, let's see if she wants this stuff.
Right.
A side note. She was like, she took like three things. And I was like, don't you want these, this, this, and this? And she was like, well, I don't want to be greedy. I was like, okay, come on. And she was so gracious. But anyway, somehow we got on the conversation about her family, and her dad was, you know, basically living across town, but didn't have anything to do with her. And we got into this conversation, and I said, you know, about forgiveness. And I said, and this is my question. It's easy for me to say, well, I didn't say you need to forgive him, but I made the comment that sometimes forgiveness helps us more than it, you know, makes a difference for that person, you know, to kind of free up your spirit. And she said, yeah, Rose tells me that all the time, but I'm not ready to do that. You know, it's just so hard because it's like you see her and she's struggling and she feels unworthy and all this stuff because her dad basically ditched her. And, you know, I guess you can't really.
But I have to say, regarding forgiveness, let me just talk in a moment from a therapeutic standpoint. You cannot, for example, let's talk about if somebody's been sexually violated. Mm-hmm. You cannot just go straight to, I mean, after you've healed, you can't go straight to, oh, well, I forgive them. They're God's child and blah, blah, blah. You have to go through the process. There's no short circuiting. There's no detour. You have to go through all of the phases. And then finally, if you've done your work, if you've done your homework, you will reach the point where you can get to forgiveness. But you can't just go the event, healing, physical healing, and forgiveness. Uh-uh. People have issues.
You have to go through anger. And
you have to. Mm-hmm. It's imperative. Mm-hmm.
But on a small scale.
Okay.
Okay. On a small scale, like someone says something to hurt your feelings or whatever.
You have to go through it on a small scale.
Do you really?
Yes. Yes. You can't go. You have to experience. Okay. You know what? I guess that really did piss me off. She said my butt is big.
Yeah.
I guess my butt is big. Okay. Well, so you have. Yeah. You just do it on a smaller scale. You have to go through the steps.
One of the things that my sister-in-law had said to me in the past about forgiveness and one of our other issues was that, and I loved it.
Is this the one you're not speaking to now?
I'm not speaking to her.
She's not speaking to you.
Well, I don't know. I'm, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
There's not any conversations going on, but.
Okay.
Not intentional, not, you know, whatever. But on my side, at least. But anyway, she had said something about not just saying you're sorry, but making amends. And I really like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like instead of just saying, oh, I'm sorry if I said something to offend you, I'm sorry. Now, I don't know in that situation with you, like I'm not, you know, I don't know what else you could do.
Well, I don't know if I knew what it was, I maybe could answer that.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know, in another situation, you know, actually doing something to make a difference and whatever, how they would feel validated and heard and I don't know.
Well, I think that you see that a lot more in personal relationships. I mean, hopefully if you're sorry about something, you don't just say, I'm sorry. You do try to take the extra step.
Well, and you can I'm sorry, Sharon.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm sorry, sweetie. But I'm just thinking an extra step can be something like, you know what? What do you need from me?
Yeah.
I've said I'm sorry, and I feel like you need more than that from me. What do you need?
That's
good. And in that way, it makes that person name it and get specific.
I also think that even if you're not like able to say, okay, I forgive you, Carrie. Okay, you were really mean to me, and I forgive you. But rather just letting go of it. Like often, I think in a marriage situation, if one spouse has deeply hurt the other spouse, whether it's, you know, being dishonest or, you know, cheating, whatever, eventually you get to the point where you have to forgive. You don't have to, but you need to if you want to ever fix the relationship.
Right. But
or even if it's divorced.
But that's healthy, Sharon. That's a healthy perspective. A lot of people aren't healthy. So they're not invested in fixing it. They're invested in holding the grudge and holding the power and then being right over the other person.
Okay, but I think what I'm trying to get to is that as our listeners, you know, you're going to be healthier.
you're not going to be, it's not going to fester if you can get let go of
absolutely
things that are bothering you.
Absolutely. But process, process, process.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Because it's like when you just say, well, let go of it. Well, if you don't go through the process, then
then you can't. And one way to process, you know, not you don't have to go to a therapist. I think that's a very quick way, I will say. I really believe, and not just in what I do, but, you know, I stay in therapy to be a good therapist.
Okay, so you started to say you don't have to go to therapy.
So you don't have to necessarily go to therapy to process your stuff, but you do then. You still have to do your work. And what that looks like is some very tangible things. Keeping a journal. Keep it, you don't have to do it handwritten. You can keep it on your computer and keep it under a locked tag or whatever it is, code or key or whatever it is. But a safe place to be able to say, I am so pissed at my spouse because of blah, 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 blah. And all I ask is that you write, if you're in the process and you're stuck with somebody who has hurt you, journal, journal, journal. Make one entry a day and date it. And then keep track of it. And what's beautiful about that is then later on, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, you can look back and you can see your own healing process. But you've got to work on it.
Okay.
You know what? I can talk more about this on Dear Zanny. That is my my own show. That's Dear Zanny, dearzanny.com. And we can talk about forgiveness. So.
And it's also on our website.
It's also
thedivacast.com.
Yes.
There's a link there. There's also a lot of the stuff you're talking about, Suzanne, is on this website, loveandforgive.org. Mm. And it has all different kinds of steps or ways to get through things.
Yeah.
And it has a ceremony.
Good.
You know, I mean, it's got links and just it talks about a lot of different things. So it's very.
Is that on our website?
I think so. I think we could have it's referenced. It was in a previous show note too. So yeah,
okay.
It should be there somewhere.
Okay, good.
But Manic Mommy's promoted this, or Aaron's working on a project on this from Manic Mommy's. But and then another piece, real quick, is, you know, forgiving yourself about stuff.
Oh my gosh, amen. Yeah.
And we sometimes can be harder on ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of times. So, you know, you screw up. You just got to look inside and figure out what you did, why you did it.
Well, and it's like so many times if I said to you, Sharon, if I did this to you, which is something that you did, you would have forgiven me. But you wouldn't forgive yourself. You keep bringing it up and keep bringing it up. And you know what I mean? Things that you do in your past and you just keep on bringing it up.
Yeah. So, and that's on that website too. It's just, you know, we're hard on ourselves sometimes.
I mean, that's at the heart of the Christian faith is forgiveness. I mean, if you know, you believe in that, you gotta follow it. I don't know if that website has anything to do with like faith in Christianity.
But wait, I just want to say that's the heart of a lot of faiths of major religions, not just Christianity.
Okay.
You know, I mean, because I don't want to promote us as just like a Christian show, because I think
I don't think there's any chance of that.
I know, but it's like the second time it's the second time somebody's mentioned, oh, well, in a Christian, and I'm like, whoa, you know, I'm just thinking in Native American, in Muslim, I mean, in different things, it is about forgiveness. So I just, you know, that's just my little thing.
So, I don't know why my friend's mad at me.
We could call her.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we do have two voicemails. So anyway, so we just wanted to talk about forgiveness. And if you are at a point where you're stuck, listen to Suzanne, some of her advice, and think about why you're really angry and what it's going to take to move you past that. Because especially in a relationship, it tends to permeate a lot of different areas, and
it
even
stains.
Physically, if it's deep enough. So anyway,
let's hear these voicemails.
Yeah. Hello, Divas. This is Karen from Kearney, Nebraska. And I was just listening to your Mother's Day podcast and laughing hysterically because as you were talking about, you know, accidentally dropping the baby off of the balcony, after I had my second child, he was animal protein intolerant, grain protein intolerant, just miserable, crying constantly. The oldest one was 3 and trying to get little attention from the mommy, being naughty. So as he was being naughty, I gave him a swat on the butt. Daddy took him to daycare, and I called my OB bawling hysterically, because I was a bad mommy, and asked if I could up my happy pill because I knew I had baby blues so bad. And as the nurse was asking me, you know, are you feeling like you're well? Do you think you could? And I just laughed and have my sixth sense of humor. I said, I'm not the lady in Texas. I just need some help. So I thought you'd appreciate that. Thank you for your podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh,
I little
do
dark sense of humor.
Yes, I do appreciate that. I was the one, this is Suzanne, and I was the one who said that I was had such postpartum stuff going on and was so overwhelmed with such a colicky baby that, remember, I said I could walk out to the balcony. I thought, I could just drop the baby and just say it was an accident. I'm just going to say it was an accident and drop the baby on its head. Yeah. So, oh, bless you. Yeah. No, but you know what? That's real. That's how desperate I was, you know? And I told myself, my other self said, go back in the house. Don't drink any wine. Put the baby in the crib and go take a bath.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was desperate. You know, when you're sleep deprived and depressed and oh my gosh. So yeah, that was me. Thank you.
Were you postpartum depression, you think, or you just weren't?
Looking back now, probably, yeah.
But you weren't medicated for it.
No, I wasn't. I should have been.
I think that's very common.
It is? Oh my gosh, yeah. We have another voicemail? Okay, Monsieur Producer.
Hi, Divas. This is Burgess from Lafayette, Indiana. And I just had to call. I've never called into a show ever. I had to call and tell you guys how much I absolutely love your show.
Aww.
I am the mom of a 13-month-old little boy, and I discovered you guys through the Manic Mommies and have been hooked ever since. And my parents are Southerners transplanted to Indiana, and so listening to you guys reminds me of my Tennessee family, and I just love it. But I had to call in and just say how much I appreciated episode number 92, Mistakes and Outtakes. Just you guys being honest and open about the early days of motherhood. It just is so important that we moms tell each other these stories so that we know we're not alone. When Suzanne was telling a story about almost, thinking about dropping her little baby on the back porch, I just could totally relate because those first couple months of just being sleep deprived and feeling like, I know I felt like I was my own dairy when I was breastfeeding and just, you know, every 2 hours around the clock, up all night. It's just hell sometimes. And, of course, now my son's 13 months and it's fun and he's a lot of fun. But I just think it's so important to share those stories with each other. I have a sister-in-law who's in La La Land about those early months and just thinks it's wonderful and precious. And there definitely are moments when it is, but I just think it's just important for us to be honest with each other about those early times. So anyway, thank you for those stories and thank you for all that you do and keep up the good work. Thanks, and you can play this if you want. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Burgess, you are not my new hero.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, Robin didn't tell us they were both about the same thing.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
You know
and
what?
That's
interesting.
You know what? That's, to me, it's like, okay, that's just such a sign that women are not honest.
Yeah.
Everybody's worried. I remember that. People are worried about. Everybody knows, everybody else has it together. I'm the only one that feels like I'm losing my freaking mind. You know, my friend Andy that lives in New York, when she had her daughter, she, you know, come to find out, she wasn't producing enough milk. The baby screamed her head off, was crying all the time. And I went up there and I'm like, give me your baby, you know, cleaned her house, whatever,
aww,
cooked, told her to go for a run, go do whatever. And I think that women, you know, I think back, whatever, in the olden days, women probably did this more for each other.
Yeah.
But
yes,
we really need to be aware of that to help each other out and to go do these things for each other. Go take the baby, go cook, go do whatever, and give each other a break. Because
it's so important to validate that, because I felt like I was so out there and I felt such shame. This is Suzanne, but I felt such shame about having these feelings of wanting to drop my newborn off a two-story balcony. I thought, oh my God, I am the most horrible mother. And I, you know what? It's also, I had this, let me tell you something else. I don't know if I told you guys this. I also had this repetitive thought that I wanted to iron his wrinkles. Isn't that weird?
I think you were like majorly postpartum.
I mean, I almost had like a little psychotic thought because right before he was born, I did a lot of sewing And I always ironed, you know, I always ironed the fabric and then I'd sew and then iron, blah, blah, blah. And I'd look at his wrinkles and I think, I could just
I could iron those out. And you had no help.
I had zero help. My husband was flying. I was by myself. All my girlfriends worked. I was in this.
No family.
No, family. I had nobody to help me. And I thought I was losing my flipping mind. You know, I'm the only woman I knew who, like, I like weighed 128 on my postpartum delivery thing. So I had about 10 pounds to lose. And here I am. I gained another 10 because all I could eat were Nestle Crunch Bars and red wine.
Okay. Yeah. Girls, if anybody's out there doing that behavior, you need to go see your doctor.
Yes. Yes, seriously. Because I could have been helped, and I just didn't realize because I was like Burgess. I didn't produce enough milk, and here I was up every, not even 2 hours, it was like in every hour and 45 minutes, round the clock, trying to feed this screaming child. It was like, wah,
that's
wah.
How Andy's daughter was.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And finally, you know, somebody said, why don't you just put some of that rice in, why don't you, you know, do some formula stuff and put rice in there. Well, now I look at my son, by the way, who's now 12 years old. He is huge. And I think
not heavy.
He's not heavy.
Tall, no, he's a big boy.
Muscular, he's probably going to be 6'5 or 6'6. I mean, he is just a huge boy.
I mean, doing that rice thing, though, they do say that can cause allergies if you give kids that stuff too early. You know, like they
say. But it helped
formula,
him.
Yeah.
I know it helped him. And so I started putting the Gerber rice, mm-hmm. you know, in his formula. And then, well, that would constipate him. Oh, geez, Louise. So you know what I did? I took 2 ounces of prune juice and then I started giving him prune juice every day to make him go poop.
How do you know if you're producing enough milk or not?
Because he was hungry. And
for a new mom who might be listening, what advice?
Go to your doctor. I mean, I don't know. All I knew is that my particular child, I can't speak to anyone else.
Right, okay.
All I knew is that
there was
even
a test.
No, but that you know, when women say they leak all the time, I never leaked. Even when I pumped, my husband called it the Chinese torture thing. When I pumped expressed breast milk, I didn't get a lot. You know, I just didn't produce a lot. And I thought, oh, my child's not getting enough.
Okay, and then so many women have the stigma of, oh, if you give the child formula, you're not being a good mom.
Yeah.
You know, that's how Andy was.
I felt shame. You know what? If you guys have a story, just call us at 678-884-0524. I love to get the voicemails because then we can play them.
I know.
Or
I like
email
too.
Us if you'd rather, diva@thedivacast.com.
But you know what I like? Instead of emails, I like them to comment on the site because then other people can read the comments. We get so many emails like nobody gets to read what they're saying. There's no interaction.
Oh, so how do they do that? Tell people.
They just go to the website under the specific show that we...
Oh, and leave a comment.
Leave a comment. Okay.
Yeah, and then we can get a really cool conversation going. But you know what? It's so okay if you're a new mom and you have these feelings, go back to your doctor and ask what's the next step.
Right.
Because it's not healthy if you just want to eat Nestle Crunch Bars and drop your baby off the balcony or want to iron their creases out with a hot iron. That's not good.
No. Oh, Lord. No. No.
My husband, the producer, is looking over there going, oh, my God, I never heard the iron story. Let me just take a hot iron to his creases and get him all smooth.
Okay. That's Suzanne, our family therapist.
Yeah.
She understands.
I think I'm better now. Yeah. Yeah, really.
Okay, you guys, we are closing with Reach Out by Beatrice Erickson from the PodSafe Music Network. And you guys have a great week.
Right. Thank you. Subscribe
Thank you.
To us if you get a chance.
On iTunes.
Come back. Don't
Thank
let that
you.
Story scare you. Just please. I'm better now.
Don't you have some ironing to do?
Oh. Yeah.
Bye.
I have some pills to take. Yeah. Bye.
Okay. Foul ball.
Are we on, Robin?
Foul ball.
Yeah, we just called foul ball on Sharon. We get off mic. And what does she say?
Oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way.
No, I was just telling you, because I wasn't here on the Mother's Day show. And my son, who's now 15, was a preemie. He was 17 days in the hospital, which is a whole nother situation I'm sure that moms would love to share. But when he finally came home on a heart monitor. And he was supposed to be on that heart monitor for 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that if he moved a lot, the thing would go off. And let me tell you something. It's like a fire alarm going off. So After 3 months, three months.
Oh, now it's three.
Now, before, you know what? 2 seconds ago, you said two.
Okay. It was probably close to four. But
oh, my gosh.
I took off his heart monitor because I couldn't. I mean, oh, my gosh. I was getting up anyway because he was still
not heavy.
She needed
to sleep.
I had to sleep. I was back at work. I had to go to sleep. So I took his heart monitor.
You take your son's heart monitor?
I know. Well, I wasn't thinking of ironing him. I just
or dropping him from a two-story balcony.
So I just thought, okay, they made me fess up. So, yeah. So I took off his heart monitor and
he's there still, now he's 15 years old.
He survived. And I'm not advocating.
Yeah,
that
please.
Moms out there with babies on their heart monitor,
no,
you
do
that.
We're not advocating.
Yanking it up.
No, we're just saying that if you have these feelings, they're normal.
Yeah.
And talk to your doctor. Talk to your doctor.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
One of these days, I will pack my bags and run. Yeah, I will pack my bags and run. Oh, been spending my time to please everyone around, but now I'm out of this town. 'Cause now the wind is blowing.